The lesson is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 and 11 through 13. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4. If you wish to follow along in red Bibles, in just a few minutes we'll be looking at pretty much verses 1 through 6. So we're all quite aware, that we live in a divided world, of course. I mean, we see the division, the far right and the far left, and most of us who are somewhere in between. We know about the division among the nations, even the divisions. I wonder how much division we'll experience around that Thanksgiving bird. So there's division in our families and even division within, fractured, broken. And William Barclay talks about how man is divided from man, class from class, nation from nation, Gentile from Jew. He talks about how in a sense there's a civil war going on between within each person, the good that I would and the what I do not want to do is what in fact that I do. And he says there's a cosmic battle between the powers of good and evil, between God and the demons. We experience this division, do we not, each and every day? And sometimes as we experience it, it leaves us feeling kind of hopeless, if you will. And so in the world in which Paul wrote, the background is the division between Jews and Gentiles. He's really talking about you have the Jewish people, you have the Gentiles, the rest of the folks on this face of this earth. And that division has to do with the fact that the people of Israel, the Jewish folks, were God's chosen people. That God chose them out from all the people of the world. And he says, I am going to be the Lord, your God. And so God promised to be God for them. He gave them the law so that they could live as his people, trusting him to be God. And so Paul was saying before Christ, he says, we were then without God and without hope. And so when you think about, your life, what division? Where do you see that fracture that results in perhaps feeling a little hopeless? How often do we hear daily of the division between, North Korea and really the rest of the world and America, of course, included? There's that constant volley of threats and division. How about, as I mentioned, on the home front? Do you have certain family members who kind of continue to wage war? There's that division. And I mentioned the division within. Paul says, I know that nothing good dwells within me. That is my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do what I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. And so that really, we experience that fracture, that brokenness within. And yet our scriptures and really Ephesians is about the word is that Jesus is the hope of the world. And that's really what I want to talk about. Jesus, all sufficiency of Christ to unify everything that's been divided, heaven and earth, everything that's been divided, separated because of sin. Reconciling, first of all, just think of it. Humankind, you and I, your own life, you can experience that fracture. And that really is key. Think about your own life. You can experience that fracture, that brokenness, and that condemnation as you condemn yourself. But really, the word of God in Christ is that we are beloved, we are forgiven. We have been brought near, we've been reconciled to God. And really, first and foremost, it is just to receive the fact that we have been reconciled to God, that you're beloved, that you're forgiven, that you're God's own. Can I hear an amen to that? It really needs the Spirit to work that in the fabric, because really, unifying a fractured world begins with the healing from within. Here's what Paul writes in chapter 2 of Ephesians. He says, you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the evil one, the spirit that's now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. We were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy out of great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And really is first and foremost just receiving the grace of God. Again, beloved, forgiven, given great purpose through the grace of God, the saving work of the cross, that which is broken and divided has been unified. And so then he talks about it, you know, first and foremost, again, the healing from within, receiving that. And then he talks about the implications for the world. And he says this in terms of Jews and Gentiles. But now in Christ, you who were once far off, talking about us, the Gentiles, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, peace with God through Jesus. In his flesh, he has made both groups, Jews and Gentiles, into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is the hostility between us. And so that really is about the fact that we realized by the grace of God that we have been justified now. To receive that, the whole world has been, that Jesus is the hope of the world. So let me ask you, do you think there's a, for instance, a 12-year-old adolescent, perhaps over a coma, who needs to know Jesus Christ, the hope of the world? He feels like he's damaged, good, unworthy, because he didn't maybe make the basketball team, or perhaps his friend group, he's been kind of ostracized because he doesn't quite fit, or he's not meeting expectations of parents. Jesus Christ is the hope for that young person, that he is loved by God, that he is worthy and gifted. Jesus is the hope for a dying woman of AIDS in Top Village, a village in South Africa that we support. That Jesus is the hope for her. She dies of AIDS. That in Christ she has life, life eternal. Jesus, again, is our hope. In the midst of our brokenness, what has been separated has brought together that we are beloved. There's that shalom, in a sense, peace with God. And so Ephesians really talks about, chapters 1 through 3, that Christ is God's instrument of reconciliation and hope for the whole world. But I want you to hear this. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so now I send you. And so now the church, you and I, resurrection is God's instrument of reconciliation and hope for the world. The means through which, think about this, the hope of the world, the church, you and me, the means through which God seeks to reconcile a fallen world to himself. Do we get it, gang? That's the gig. That's the game. But unfortunately, churches can experience division. Pastor Matt talks about how the church he grew in, there was rank division. And he affectionately refers to it as the Lutheran Church of the Divided. But that's sad, is it not? I mean, there's a certain amount, there's some decent, good unity in this place. But we know at times disunity, the evil one seeks to kind of creep in and sow disunity. It happens when we think church is about us rather than Christ and glorifying Christ. When we fail to understand the mission of the church, resurrection, is that God wants to use us, you and me, to reconcile a world to himself. So it's imperative that there is a sense of unity in the family of God, not Lutheran Church of the Divided. That there is a sense of unity, of mission. Unfortunately, we all sometimes can be duped by the evil one. It happens when we allow the evil one to influence and we start making about ourselves. And somehow our feathers have been ruffled a bit and we start to gossip about so-and-so to someone else. And then the division starts to creep in and Satan's rubbing his hands. Matthew 18 is very clear. If you have an issue with someone, don't gossip. What are you to do? Go to that person. And if someone comes to you gossiping about another, what do you say? You need to take it up with so-and-so. And that's true with respect to our families. It's true with respect to places of work, wherever. And so the teaching today really is practical because, again, Paul is talking about in chapters 1 through 3 that Christ is the instrument through which we are reconciled to God. Now the church then, 4 through 6 is the instrument. So look at his practical advice, if you would. Look at the first verse. Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, he says, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And as you know, Paul was imprisoned because of the gospel. His call was to bring that reconciling message of Jesus to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews. And so he was in prison. He was willing to set himself aside for the sake of the gospel. And then he says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called. We can say we've been called by the gospel. In other words, we know we fall short, yet we know the grace of God in Christ, the saving work of Jesus on the cross, that we have been forgiven, that we have the perfect righteousness of Jesus. And by the grace of God, then we have this calling to steward our very lives, if you will, everything, leverage them for the sake of the message of Christ, the message of reconciliation to God through Christ to the world. And of course, what? That calling is undeserved, coming to us by grace. It should result in a willingness to set ourselves aside. Did you hear that? The grace of God, the unmerited favor of God in Christ that's been so lavished on us, as a result of that, we are willing to set ourselves aside. Submission to the activity of God in Christ through the Spirit. That's the first and foremost. First and foremost, that's key to a unified body, a unified purpose. Look what he says in verse 2 then. With then all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love. Before Christ came, you know, humility, being humble, was thought to be kind of cowering and servile, you know, an ignoble quality. Yet humility is the quality of a Christian that truly understands who God is in all his power and glory and who God has made us to be by his grace in Christ, beloved saints, children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When you just come to see that, it results in humility. You know, people who don't know God have kind of an inflated sense of self. You've heard the VIP, right? Very important person. Pulled over, and they're going to be given a traffic ticket. They look at the traffic ticket and say, don't you know who I am? I'm thinking, perhaps, but not all that impressed, huh? I know who we are. Or who Christ made us to be, his workmanship, if you will. And that brings about a certain amount of gentleness then and patience. Let me ask you, has God been gentle and patient with you over the years? Are you and I in need, and have we received the grace and the mercy of God in abundance? That God is steadfast in his love for us, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Anytime we're ready to kind of get on our high horse and rip another one, a good one, step back and think, how has God lavished his patience, his love, his gentleness? Yes, extend the same to others. And again, this does not just apply to church stuff. This is really where we live each and every day, right? The third or key, or the fourth key, is bearing one another in love. Sometimes translated enduring. Is there someone today that you're enduring in love? That you continue by the grace of God to seek to love them? Because why? God in Christ first loved you. Enduring others is not about that emotion as such, you know. You're everything in the world to me. It's rather, again, a choice to love because you have been loved in Christ. And it truly is amazing. It is the work of God. When we step back and say, I need your grace, God, to love the unlovable. And we find ourselves in some measure that the manifestation of God, the activity of the Spirit in helping us to love in a Christ-like way. And that way, that's what it means then in three, making every effort to maintain the unity. Christ has already made us one. He's established that. But we want to maintain it. We want to live into it. The unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Recently, and this is the second time this fall that I experienced some conflict with one of my good friends. And it's like, what's going on here, you know? I mentioned that a month or so ago. This is a good friend of mine who kind of out of the blue decided to take my inventory, you know? And it caught me by surprise. And initially, I was like, okay, that's fine. Then I said, all of a sudden, my anger got a hold of me. I said, who decided to elevate you to the role of my judge and jury? And, angry, kind of sore for a few days, you know. But I was praying through it, you know, and as I prayed through it, I'm kept hearing, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Because I'm thinking, you know what, he should call me first. And I know we need to, we know we need to reconcile. We don't let it fester. Then the evil one, we get into resentments and it just poisons our heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. So this was a Thursday night and God was working on me. And even though it wasn't exactly his role, maybe if I had invited him to do so, but to play judge and jury. But what he said had some merit. And it's like, okay, God, this isn't about him. This is about, what are you saying to me, God? What are you trying to do to get my attention? And I got to admit, what he had to share with me, definitely some merit, to be sure. So finally, after two or three days on a Sunday night, I gave him a call, and he had just arrived in his hotel for a business trip the following week, and said it's been bugging me too, and it was just good to reconcile, huh? You know, by that grace, just again, what was kind of divided, brought together. Look what it says in verses 4 and following. There is, Paul says, one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Christ has unified us. What was separate has been brought together through the blood of Christ. Oneness. Maintaining, seeking to live into it. Let me ask you, how are you doing? How are you doing in making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? With regard to your own life, your own inner world, receiving the grace, allowing God to affirm you in who you are as His beloved. How are we doing in terms of family and being reconciled, being one? In regard to this church and others, as I mentioned, if I could have the picture, it's absolutely essential that there's unity. And where there's unity, the Spirit is pleased. It's absolutely essential that we're unified in our mission to reconcile a fallen world. Next picture, a fallen world to God's self. The church is, you and I are the instrument which God wants to reconcile this broken world. And the world is depending on us. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us, Holy Spirit, just to know that we are so beloved of you, that we are forgiven, that what's broken has been mended by the gospel of Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, that we have been made one. Do that healing in our life, God, that we're so joyful in who you are. Lord, however you choose to have us, help us to hear that we might respond to your grace in joyful, generous ways. We give you thanks and praise, Jesus Christ. Amen.